Thank you, Eddie, for clearing that up about the baby bottle. I thought there for a second you brought your lunch. So good, so exciting to be with you today. If you have your Bibles with you, we're in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and we're going to be looking at verses 14 through 21, which may or may not be, depending on the grace of God, on the screen. 2 Corinthians 5, starting in verse 14. Title of the message this morning is The Reconciliation Church. The Reconciliation Church. Verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth now we know no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Let's have again a brief prayer. Our Father, we just pause to acknowledge your presence in this place. Indeed, you have promised to be here whenever we come and gather together. And so we acknowledge the presence of the Holy Spirit and recognize his work in our hearts during these moments that we have together. Father, I feel in no sense or way to be adequate to deliver the message today, but you are my sufficiency and the sufficiency of all who will listen and hear. Lord, open not only our ears, but our heart and our will, for this is the word of the Lord that will be spoken here today. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing I want to see as we look into this passage of Scripture is what I call the message of reconciliation. The message of reconciliation. Verse 21 again says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Jesus died as our substitute. That word substitute is a very important word, because a substitute is someone in place of. When the Yankees are not doing real well on the baseball field and the pitcher is giving up too many runs, they bring in a substitute pitcher. Sometimes not much better than the one they had before. That's why we're not doing too well this year. But we all have substitutes. When we are in school, we have a substitute teacher. I always enjoyed having a substitute teacher, because most of the time the substitute teacher didn't know what our homework was. And so if we slipped up a little and didn't do our homework, the substitute might not know, and we could get away with it a little bit. But I want to tell you on a serious note, Jesus is your substitute. And Jesus is my substitute, and he was a substitute on that cross. Because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And he, our substitute, tasted that death for you and for me and for all mankind. And so we are thankful that Jesus died for our sins and died in our place. Now, we often talk about Jesus' sacrificial death, but what follows is very interesting. I want us to notice it. God was working in Jesus. The Bible says that God was in Christ. Jesus was more than any man or good man or miracle man or religious man. He was God in the flesh. That which could be all of the divinity of God was in that man, Jesus Christ. And the Bible says God was working in Jesus. And what was he doing in Jesus? What was the work that he was doing there? The Bible says that he was at work in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. You see, we were kind of in bad state with the Lord. Ever since Adam and Eve ate us out of house and home there in the Garden of Eden, the Bible says we have been distant or separated from God because of something called our sins. Our sins separate us from God. And so we had been in a bad relationship. And so God wanted to do something. And what he wanted to do was in Jesus, he was reconciling us. We who were afar off, the Bible says, are made near by the blood of Jesus Christ. How do we get close to God? How do we deal with the separation that our sin has caused in our relationship, the brokenness in our relationship to God? Through Jesus Christ. Because the Bible teaches us that God was in Christ reconciling the whole world to himself. What a marvelous truth that is. And it's the basis for our message this morning, the Reconciliation Church. You see, because Jesus died in our place, God did not count our sins against us. Can you picture this? You're confronted with your sins, and you say, well, I told lies. And God looks over at Jesus, and Jesus looks up at God, and he says, well, we're not going to count that against you. I was dishonest. I cheated on my employer. I cheated on my family. And I'm just a cheat and a crooked person. And God looks up at Jesus. Jesus looks at God. Well, we're not going to count that against you. Or I stole something that wasn't mine. Or I committed adultery. Or I was unfaithful to my spouse. Or any kind of sin you want to commit, and you stand there and you confess it to God, and he says, well, it's all right, we're not going to count that against you. Why? Because Jesus already paid for it. Yeah. Isn't that great? Have any of you here really messed up? We don't have too many perfect people here today, okay? We all have sinned, the Bible says, and come short of the glory of God's creation. In other words, God created us to be glorious, and we haven't quite measured up. We have missed the mark. We have fallen short of the purpose for which God created you, and the Lord hath laid upon him, the Bible says, this iniquity, the sin of us all. How awesome is that? You and I, who are guilty, are declared to be innocent. The verse is quite clear. It says, he hath made Jesus to be sin for us who never committed a sin. Even the Roman soldier standing there at the cross said, truly, this is the Son of God. Even the judge, the priest, the king said, I find no fault in this man. He was sinless. And he who knew not one sin became sin for us, that we can be made the righteousness of God. As Paul would say, by faith. We are righteous by faith. And so, Jesus was our substitute. But let me move on. Jesus provided a new orientation to God for us. Again, in verse 15, and that he died for all, that they which live not henceforth live unto themselves. You see, that's how we're living. We're self-centered. We look out for number one, don't we? How is this going to be good for me? We think about how things are going to affect us when the Congress was messing up all kinds of stuff there in Washington about the debt limit. What was our concern? We were worried about our Social Security, weren't we? See how focused we are on ourselves. But look at what God did. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but live unto him who died for them and rose again. There's a new orientation once you're saved. You are no longer oriented towards yourself, looking out for yourself. You're oriented towards God. That is what reconciliation is. We are reconciled to God so that we don't have to focus on ourselves all the time. That we can focus on our Creator. We can focus on our Savior. We can focus on the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. That is true Christianity. None of us wants to go to hell. We want to go to heaven. None of us wants to be lost. We want to be saved. But there's more to it than that. The whole purpose of what Jesus came to earth and died on the cross and rose again was to break down the barriers between you and me and God. He reconciled us. Are you reconciled today? Are you reconciled to God? That's the truth we're looking at. This is the work that God the Father and Jesus did for our salvation. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree, the scripture says. We are reconciled back to God by Jesus' sacrificial death. Okay? Now, we have a role in reconciliation. For two people who are at odds, in order to get their differences reconciled, it can't be one-sided. There has to be two sides to reconciliation. If you're on the outs with somebody, if you're holding a grudge against somebody, you're upset with a neighbor, you're upset with your spouse, goodness knows this is coming from my experience as parenthood, you might be needing to be reconciled to your children. It takes two. There is the role of God and Jesus in reconciliation. But you know there's something we have to do as well. And I've tried to break this down. I want to think about reconciliation, practically speaking, from our point of view, to three steps. Okay? Not ABC, but CBR. Can you remember that? CBR, three steps to function as a reconciled person to God. Our responsibility in the relationship that God wants us to have. Okay, here we go. C is for communication. C is for communication. Now, there are other things that are very important in these next two steps, but why did I put communication first? You got to start. And the very simplest way to start is to talk. Okay? Talk to God. Somehow we've gotten the wrong idea about what prayer is. We think in our mind prayer is some kind of a wish list. That we bow our heads and pray and say, God, would you give me this? And God, would you give me this? And God, and we just go on and on about all the things that we want God to give us and all the things we want God to do for us. Am I telling the truth?
Yes.
I think so. You know, that's not all there is to prayer. Prayer, in addition to all of that, is a life of communication. Prayer is talking to God and listening to God. Sometimes we do a really good job about talking to God, but we don't stop to listen to God. Communication is a two-way speech. I laugh at our daughter sometimes. She's blessed with the gift of speaking really fast. And sometimes she'll get on the phone, she'll get to me talking. Gene's not here today, so I can talk about this, okay? Don't you all spill the beans. But sometimes when I answer the phone and I'm talking to our daughter, Lisa, she just goes on and on and on. And after about 7 or 8 minutes, I say, Lisa, take a breath. Communication is about listening as well as talking. I want to tell you, if you want to have the relationship, the reconciled relationship with God that you want to have, there's got to be communication. Two people can't live in the same house and not ever talk to each other. And I want to tell you, there is such a thing in being reconciled to God where we communicate with Him. I love the story of Adam and Eve. Said during the course of the evening, the Father, God, would come through the garden and Adam and Eve would talk and visit just like a man to his friend. I want to ask you this. You're saved, perhaps. You have trusted in the blood of Jesus Christ. You have accepted Jesus as your personal Savior. Many of you are members right here at Salem Church. Do you have a satisfactory relationship with God the Father? Are you in communication with God the Father? Do you feel like something's missing? Do you feel like you see, we're leaving out the whole purpose for why Jesus came. Jesus came to reconcile us, to put things right, to open the lines of communication between us and God and us. And so I put it first, because there's nothing that you have to do to communicate to God than just to start talking. You know? How many times during the course of the day could you just stop and say, Heavenly Father, I know you're here with me. This is going to be kind of tough today, and I'm going to be relying on your help. And I need your presence. Or I'm feeling down and low and in the dumps, and I need you, Heavenly Father, to lift my spirits. I am afraid and concerned, and I need to hear your voice of comfort. You see this? Do you see the difference in communicating with God and just running to Him with our grocery list of things? And I want to ask you today, are you experiencing communication with God? There is a life. There is a new life of talking to God, listening to God, living in His presence, and always conscious of God's Spirit with you. And so that's part of being reconciled, okay? C is for communication. B is for believing. Believing. You remember a couple of weeks ago I was talking to you about if? I told you about this clown that came up to Jesus and said, my son's really in bad shape. If you can do anything, you remember that? Saying to God in the flesh, the man who walks on water, the man who feeds a multitude with a little boy's fish sandwich, the man who heals the blind and causes the lame to walk, and he comes up to Jesus and he says, if you can do anything. You remember what I told you Jesus said to him? If you can believe, he gave the if right back to him. If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Take a second and let's get our mind wrapped around that statement. All things, now that's pretty inclusive. All things are possible. There's nothing impossible if you believe. All things are possible. Our problem is one of unbelief. Our problem is one of doubt. Jesus said all things are possible to him that believes. Okay, let's jump into this, all right? Talking about living your life in relationship to the Heavenly Father. No longer self-centered, but centered on God, okay? Do you have confidence when you pray? Do you believe? I don't want the church answer, okay? I don't want the theologian's answer. I don't want to hear Baptist doctrine here. I want this out of your mind and your heart and your experience. When you pray to God, do you believe that He's hearing you?
Yes.
I have some people say, well, I'm not sure God's hearing me. Well, my goodness, you're wiser than the writers of Scripture. Because He does hear us. He listens to us. And you got to believe. Prayer without belief is like a sandwich with no food. Nothing in between. Just two slabs of bread. What's at the heart of it is what you believe when you pray. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, I will do unto you, Jesus said. Okay, we got to move on. Haven't gotten to the good part yet. Trusting in God, Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. R is for receiving. R is for receiving. Okay, I'm going to review this. C is for communication. B is for believing. R is for receiving. Receiving. First off, believe and receive his spirit into your life and heart. Receive the Holy Spirit. I'm Baptist enough to believe that the Holy Spirit comes into us when we're saved. But I guess I got enough Pentecostal in me to believe too that sometimes we have to have a kind of a new anointing about the Holy Spirit. We have to have kind of a new indwelling, a new infilling, a refresher course. The Department of Motor Vehicles sent me a letter the other day saying, we want you to take a little refresher course about your driving. Look what you got to look forward to when you get into your 70s, okay? A refresher course. Well, sometimes we need a refresher course in the work of the Holy Spirit. Believe that God's Spirit dwells, lives within you. Okay? You got to receive His provision for us. Part of living in fellowship with God is trusting Him for provision. Do you remember what Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount? He said, take no thought, don't think twice about what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, or what you shall put on. How much energy do we expend on that? Thinking about our next meal, thinking about the clothes in our closet. Jesus said, take no thought for that, because those things are the things the Gentiles, the pagans, the lost people focus on. Eating, drinking, dressing. Take no thought of those things. Well, wait a minute, Jesus. I got to have something to wear. I got to have something to eat. You remember what he said next? He says, your heavenly Father knows that you have need. Are you on to this? Do you realize that God knows everything you need before you realize you need it? I mean, the God who numbers the hairs on your head and says that not even a sparrow falls to the ground without the Father's attention. Don't you think God knows what you need? Now, He didn't say what you want. He said what you need. Don't focus on all these things you need, because your Heavenly Father knows that you have need of these. These are the things the Gentiles, the lost people out there in the world, focus on. My God shall supply, finish that off for me. My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. Do you know that was in the Bible? God knows and will supply all your need. Now, didn't God tell us to work? Yeah. Do we work to have a nicer home? Do we work to have a nicer car? Do we work to take trips all over the world? No. The Bible says God takes care of your needs. And Scripture says, yes, work so that you'll have something to give to somebody in need. Don't worry about the basics. I'll take care of those. You work so you will have something to give to somebody else. It's more blessed to give than to receive. You see, God is a giver, and He wants you to be a giver, okay? I need to move on. Receive His Spirit, receive His provisions, and finally receive His empowerment. receive his empowerment. Did you know that God can enable you to do something that you didn't think you could do? Too many times in my life I have looked at something I needed to do and said, oh Lord, I'm not able to do this. I'm not sufficient to do this. Paul says, when I'm weak, that's when I'm my strongest, because I rely upon him. Remember what Paul said, and I want you to take this to heart. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Okay? Do you believe that? Why don't you do more? You know, we were at church last Sunday, and Scott and Joanne weren't here. They were on vacation. We sure missed you guys. You know? You know what I was thinking, though? I was thinking, I wonder if there's somebody in this congregation that God could enable to man that keyboard. I was sitting, and this is honest truth, I was sitting here and there was no piano to be played, Scott. And I was thinking to myself, you know, I don't know these people. God could have Van Cliburn sitting in the congregation this morning and I not know about it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I believe in the revival that is about to come to Salem, and I'm going to talk about that seriously in just a moment. I believe God's going to change things around here. You believe that? God's going to change some things around here. God's going to fill up these pews. God's going to fill up this choir loft. I had a meeting with God a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about this educational building, and God said, you know, that's a great looking educational building. And I said, walk the halls, you'll find they're empty. The main part of the building back here that's used is the restrooms, when people ought to be sitting there learning about Jesus, learning the God's word. Okay? And so God is able to take those of you who are faithful in this congregation and do things you never thought and nobody else ever thought that you could do. When I was at Bethlehem, we had a young man named John. John came over from Church of the Nazarene. I didn't know John. I saw him showing up in the church several Sundays, and finally one Sunday he came down with his son and received Christ as his Savior. And we had a guy at Bethlehem been doing the heating in the building grounds for years and years and years and years. And, you know, he'd just gotten where he wasn't able to keep it up. And can I say this? He thought he owned the building. You ever known anybody in church, you don't mess with them because they own this, you know, they've been doing it so long. And God bless this fellow, he did it for years, but he wasn't doing a good job. And we had an old-timey furnace there, and it ran the old building and the educational building together, and it was failed more often than it worked. And finally, this old fella got his nose out of joint, and he said, I'm going to quit doing all this. I looked up to heaven and I said, Lord, we need somebody. And I was just talking to two or three of the leaders, and John was standing there. I didn't realize it. And John came up to me and said, you know, I just joined the church. I could help out a little bit with the property. I said, thank you, Lord. You know, help out a little bit with the property. I said, John, do you know anything about big furnaces? You know, keeping the place warm and keeping the place working. And he said, well, I don't know very much. But he said, so happens my father is in charge of all of the building and grounds for all of the schools in Chesterfield County. And I watched that guy modernize and keep going those furnaces. And, you know, before long he was a deacon. And before after that he was chairman of the pastor search committee. John was doing things he never thought he could do. And I want to tell you, there are people sitting here today who could do amazing things in this church. if you just believed in what he said. All things are possible. All things are possible. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's 12 o'clock and I'm just finished my first point. Excuse me. I got to tell you something. 2 weeks ago on a Friday morning, must have been about 4:45 in the morning. I want to tell you, I'm not very active at 4:45 in the morning. And I'm laying there in my bed and all of a sudden I'm awake. My eyes aren't open, but I'm awake. And I feel that feeling. And I'm not a prophet. I don't claim to be a prophet. Sometimes God speaks to me so that I'll know what to say to you. So I'm laying there in my bed at 4:45, and all of a sudden my mind is wide awake, and my thoughts are crystal clear. And I look up and I say, all right, God, what you want to say to me? And this is what he said, and it's for you. How many of you here today are members of Salem Church? I'm just curious. Okay. Here's what God said to me about the future of Salem Church. I overheard one of our state leaders say, I don't know about Salem. They might as well just close their doors and give their property away to another church. You ever heard that? I don't believe that. God said, I don't believe that either. And this is my vision for Salem Church. Okay? God wants you to be the reconciliation church. Now, I know you're scrubbing your head. You say, we've been in Salem Baptist Church for 240-some years. God has a new name. New name for this church. You remember Saul of Tarsus? When God knocked him down and opened his eyes, he said, this is what I want you to do, and this is what I want you to do, and this is what I want you to do. And he said, oh, by the way, I got a new name for you. You'll no longer be called Saul. You'll be called Paul. And that was the beginning of his ministry. And I want to tell you, from reading the scripture that I just read to you today, first off today, we have talked about the message of reconciliation. But now, I want us to look at this a little closer and talk to the ministry of reconciliation. And I believe this is what God wants for Salem Church. I'm not making this up. I am totally local. I was born in Petersburg. I went to high school in Colonial Heights. I was saved in Monumental Baptist Church in Petersburg. I was ordained to ministry in Emmanuel Church in Colonial Heights. I've served seven churches all in the state of Virginia. You can look me up. I'm not a kook. I'm not bragging. I'm not talking about my ideas. This is what God put in my head Friday 2 weeks ago. He said, I want to give the church a new ministry. He said, my plan and my purpose for Salem Church is not to just hang on. You ever feel like sometimes as a church we're just kind of hanging on? Yeah. I know, Eddie, you feel that way sometimes. We're just struggling to hang on. The church is so old and we want to keep it going. God says, no, that's not what I want you to do. I want to give you a new mission. I want to give you a new ministry. I want to give you a new name. I want you to be the Reconciliation Church for Chesterfield County. Now, there are all kinds of churches with new names, okay? These preachers coming out of seminary, they give a church a new name. Where I used to preach at Southside, now it's, what is it, the Transformation Church? Yeah, I think that's right. God wants you to be known as the Reconciliation Church. He wants you to be integral in reconciling people in this community and neighborhood to God through Jesus Christ. And this is how he wants to do it. This is how he wants to do it. He wants us to get thoroughly right with God. I'm not saying, are you saved? I'm not asking if you're born again. I'm asking, have you been reconciled? And are you, just like we've talked about, CBR, you are ready to live the rest of your life, not to yourself, but to God, to Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Are you ready for that? Are you ready to change your way of living? Because God wants to do something incredible in you and in you through the church. And he can't do beans with this church until he deals with you. Okay? There's no need to change the name of a church if a church is the same. When they did the change up at Southside, somebody wrote a letter in and said, well, you got a new name, but has anything really changed? Are you the same old church? I don't want to be the same old church. You got to be reconciled. And I think God is leading. I know God is saying to you and to me, you need to get thoroughly right with me. You need to trust in Jesus to reconcile yourself to me, that we can communicate, that you can believe the impossible, believe everything God is able to do, and empowered. You're willing for God to do something in you and through you you never thought in a million years you could do. I can do all things, what? Through Christ who strengthens me. Exactly right. Do you believe it? Okay. Here it goes. If I don't get invited back, I'll understand. God said, what a beautiful building. This is a gorgeous sanctuary. God said, it's 2/3 empty. That is a gorgeous educational building. There are literally hundreds of churches and congregations in Virginia that are meeting in storefronts and closed up grocery stores, all kinds of crazy things. We'd give anything for this huge educational building. But God said, I walked through the halls of Salem Church and I found it empty. God wants to do something. God wants to do something. And this is not me, okay? I'm going to say what God told me to say on that early morning, and I'm going to leave it to you. You got some great leaders, some great deacons and everything. My job is to tell you what he wants you to do. He wants you to get thoroughly reconciled as individuals to God, number one. He wants the church to get thoroughly reconciled. The church, if I say this, I know I won't be invited back. God wants this church to get right with all the people that have left this church. I remember years and years and years ago, I'm local, okay? You can't fool me. People have left this church. You could put out a list of people, and there's probably more people that have left this church than the people that are still here at this church. And you know what God wants? You to be reconciled. Important step, that we have a great Sunday called Reconciliation Sunday. And we try to find everybody that's ever set foot in this church. Every member and every visitor and every person ever set foot in this church. And somehow we've done something to upset them or discourage them or cause them to split off. And we're going to invite them back for Reconciliation Sunday. And we're going to get straight. Because you can't be reconciliation church if you aren't reconciled to your own people. Okay? You've heard the expression, the devil is in the details. I want to tell you, that's not true. The devil is in the divisions. The devil is in the divisions, whether it's in families, whether it's in churches, whether it's in this country, God forbid. We can't even get together on an agreement to pay for our own bills because Republicans don't trust the Democrats, and the Democrats don't trust the Republicans, and a lot of us don't trust either one of them. We need some reconciliation. It starts in the church and goes all the way to the doors of Congress. Can you think that big? Oh, I want to tell you, you get reconciled to the people that used to be apart, And then you learn how to bring people together. We bring in people that are Christian speakers and let them teach us how to promote reconciliation. And here's the vision. Here's the vision. All right? We're sitting here, and over here is a family. And a husband and a wife are right near divorce, and they're at each other's throats. And finally the husband says, you know, I can't take this any longer. We got to do something. And she said, what are you talking about, divorce? And, no, let's try going to that reconciliation church. You see, we could promote healing and reconciliation because we have been reconciled to God. And here's a family, and they've got a son, and he's gone out on his own, and they've had words, and father and son have disputed and argued and fussed, and they've split, and they haven't seen each other, talked to each other for a whole year. And finally, the mother says, I don't know what else to do. We've tried everything. Let's try going down there to that reconciliation church, and you and me and all the people be trained, prepared, ready to assist in reconciling those families. Do you think God could get interested in that? You got a neighbor. You know, two neighbors live next door to each other, and they can't stand each other because something happened long time ago, and they just can't get along, and they live next door to each other. Finally, one of them says, I don't know what to do to get right with our neighbors. We need to be close as neighbors, good neighbors, watch out for each other. And maybe someone speaks up, well, I don't know what to do, but maybe if we could go down there to the reconciliation church. Don't you like that? Don't you see how God could fill this building with people that are hurt and broken and at odds with one another and be reconciled through the influence of his new church? I'm so excited it's hard to stand up, you know? Why aren't more churches called Reconciliation Church? When I started out in the ministry 53 years ago, Charlie Spain, the director of missions for Petersburg, sent me to a church whose name I will not call. And there was a very nice educational building and small church, much like your older church here. And I sat down with them after I'd preached. And I said, why was it just 40 people in your church today? Well, we had a split. We had an argument, a fuss in the church. And the church got taking sides and arguing, and it got so bad we had a business meeting. We had to call the sheriff of Chesterfield County to come into the church to hold up the argument in the middle of the business meeting. And they split right in two. And I always put my foot in my mouth. I said, well, why did you split? Does anybody remember why the church is split? And finally, somebody spoke up and said, well, there's a cemetery next to the church, and we wanted to put these railroad cross ties down there where you park your car, you know, to pull up to the wooden strip. And half of us wanted to do it, and half of us thought it was unsightly and ugly, and it just went from bad to worse, and finally we had to have the police in here to keep them having a fist fight. My soul, how can you be the reconciliation church when you can't decide about wood in the parking lot? I will call the name of this because I know it well. 50 years ago, I was pastor at the Ettrick Baptist Church, the old Ettrick Church there on Chesterfield Avenue. My good friend was pastor at Metoyka Baptist Church. We were close. We were good friends. And Roland Powell, some of you may remember Roland. We had a high attendance day at Ettrick, and we set a goal, and I saw Roland somewhere, grocery store, preacher's meeting or something. And I had to tell you, we had a high attendance day at Ettrick Baptist, and we had 203 people in worship that morning. And he smiled, and he just laughed, and he said, that's wonderful, Dennis. He said, we had 275 at Metoyka. About 2 years ago, 50 years later, I'm invited back to preach at Metoica Baptist Church. And I looked out in their congregation and there was less than 35 people in the pews. And I spoke to the deacon and I said, "Brother, where is everybody? This used to be one of the strongest churches in the Petersburg Association. Used to have 250 people every Sunday." And he said, "Well, we had a split. We argued with one another and we couldn't settle it. And so a group took off and left and went down the road." And I said, "Oh, is that the church that meets about halfway between Metoica and where we live in Eagle Cove?" He said, "No, that was another split." And I said, "Oh, was that the group that pulled out of Metoica and was meeting in the school building down the road?" "Well, no, that was another split." They had three divisions in that church, and I wondered why it went from 275 to less than 40 people in the church. And I want to tell you this, the devil is not in the details. The devil is in the division. And the devil wants to separate families. The devil wants to break up marriages. The devil is at work in our own convention right here. There used to be one state convention, the Baptist General Association of Virginia. Now we have two, Southern Baptist Conservatives of Virginia, Virginia Baptist. I've been pastor of churches in both of them. They split. They couldn't get along because they couldn't agree on how the Bible is inspired and where women ought to be in the pulpit. That's the honest truth. Do you think God is happy about that? I mean, some great things have come out of the SBCV. Great things come out of the Baptist General Association. But how can you be the reconciliation church when you can't get along with each other? Doesn't that make sense? Am I beating a dead horse here? God wants his people to come together. And I could just see in my mind's eye what the Lord was showing me that day. Like I said, church praying and singing and people coming in the doors and nobody knows them. "We live down here, we live over here, in the subdivision over there. We were just having some problems at home. We heard you were the reconciliation church and we need help." Do you see the potential? Do we have to keep on going with a small congregation, no choir, no Sunday school, falling off Sunday after? Do we have to keep on like that? Or can we do something if God is leading us? I've exceeded my time and I apologize. But I believe that that is God's word to Salem Church today. Okay? I can walk out of here and leave and have a clear conscience. Because I told you the truth. Okay? Not everybody wants to hear the truth, but I told the truth. God has a vision for this church. God is not through with this church. God has a ministry that will exceed the bounds of Centralia Road, that will exceed the bounds of Chesterfield County. The need for reconciliation goes right to the top of our country. But I want to tell you, Satan is a tough battler. These churches that I talked about that split, they thought it was all human. "Oh, I don't like so-and-so. Well, he never did like me. Can't get along with me." You know what Paul said about that? He said, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood." When churches can't get along, when churches split up, when churches divide, you're not wrestling against another human being. "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and evil in high places." In other words, we are battling against that which is demonic, Satan. And I want to tell you, Satan is not in the details. Satan is in the divisions. And God is in the reconciliation business. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I tried to say it just like you told me. I just pray that we will be hearers, that people will hear this word. Some of us here, Lord, need to be reconciled to you. We need to walk with you each day in communication and belief and empowerment and fellowship. We need to be closer to you, O God. And my prayer is that there will be those this morning who will say, I want to be closer to God. I want to be God-focused and not my eyes on myself. I pray there will be leaders in this church that say, maybe we do need a new ministry. Maybe we need to be looking into being the reconciliation church. Lord, you put these leaders in place for a purpose, and you can speak and you can move. And Lord, we close by believing that you can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. In Jesus' name, amen.